Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got plenty to get to this hour. A very ornery Jim Boeheim. Well, we're going to figure that one out right now. His criticism of Jalen Johnson and his decision in Duke is something that I will very politely say we disagree with. We'll also try and make sense of what's going to happen, the dominoes that will continue to fall in this quarterback offseason after Carson Wentz was dealt to the Colts yesterday. But, Chinee, of everything we saw last night with the Nets and Lakers, there was one thing I heard, and it wasn't until after the game, that was the biggest takeaway and, in my mind, the best possible news and outcome you could have had from yesterday if you were a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Give it to me.
This was Frank Vogel, the Lakers head coach, after the game, delivering an update about their star center, Anthony Davis.
You know, just confirmed a calf strain. He's going to be out for 4 weeks. We want to try to put this fully behind him. You know, be conservative with it just to make sure that it's fully healed before he's back.
Janae, you're an athlete, and we talk about this all the time, that's dealt with injuries, coming back from injuries at the professional level. And I heard this, and I went, thank God. Thank God the Lakers won that championship last year so that desperation wasn't pushing them to do something that they absolutely shouldn't do, rush back the player that's most important to your future.
I cannot agree with you anymore. Absolutely. And I think that we are, and we mentioned this a little while ago when we heard that, you know, we, after the game in which Anthony Davis went out, we were all concerned from the past, and we're talking about a matchup between Brooklyn and, you know, LA. Well, when it comes to Brooklyn star KD, he's coming back from an Achilles injury, and in the circumstance in which he incurred that Achilles injury, it was a calf strain, and there was a lot of pressure mounting because we sort of felt like maybe the Warriors dynasty, like these were the final few days of it, potentially based on the looming offseason. And so they made the right move by being patient with their number one talent, albeit, you know, at the expense of winning. But still, I feel like this season, as long as you have enough talent, and I feel, and I think that, you know, Brooklyn did what they needed to do from the supporting cast standpoint. And that's exactly what LeBron James and Anthony Davis were talking about as the clock expired. Like, hey, these guys are legit, and let's just get our minds right so that we see this, we remember this moment, we remember getting blown out by Brooklyn, so that when you do come back after your extended rest, thank you, Frank Vogel, we'll be back and better than ever. Take the time you need. LeBron James is great. Like, no one needs to, that doesn't need to be debated at all. But the question marks are, how great are his teammates in the absence, you know, absence of, you know, Anthony Davis? And yesterday, I feel like it provided the necessary motivation for a Montrezl Harrell, a Dennis Schroeder when he comes back from COVID protocols, a Kyle Kuzma to say, all right, these guys are playing hungry. Just because we won a championship, we shouldn't relax. We should keep our foot on the gas, especially for our big bro AD, who has, you know, given us so much, so, including, you know, a championship. So, yeah, you're right. That sound is exactly what you want to hear as an athlete, saying you have time. And I think it'll be interesting to see, all right, where do the Lakers sort of end up? Will it be LeBron James putting the team on his back and keeping them afloat in the West? Or will the supporting cast actually have more say about that as well?
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I'd say the biggest reason why I feel hopeful about that, because I think there's some similarities that we can draw between what the Lakers are getting ready to go through now and what the Chiefs went through leading up to the Super Bowl. Because remember, the biggest story in the Super Bowl was the Chiefs losing Eric Fisher that week prior and having to reshuffle their whole O-line. And so now you're taking one guy, you're moving him across, you're moving one guy from guard out to tackle, you're putting another starter in there. And so when you lost one guy, you had to reshuffle all the parts in a way that was going to make them all a little less good at what they do. You weren't just replacing one guy. You had to replace an entire way of doing things up front. And we saw the results of that when you had to bake that quick were catastrophic. For the Lakers, there's no one person on that roster that's going to come close to replacing Anthony Davis. And so it's going to be, how does Frank Vogel tinker with that lineup? How do they try and mix and match these bodies around LeBron James when LeBron's off the court? But the biggest difference is now they know, and Chinee, you know this as well as anybody, they just defined some of the limit. They said, hey, we got the next 4 weeks where we know we're not going to have this guy. And so everyone's going to have to get in where they fit in during that time period, but you've got just that. You've got the time to do so.
You know what's crazy, though, Junior? You just said, like, all right, no one can replace Anthony Davis, and the Lakers have to figure that out. No one can replace Kevin Durant. And the Brooklyn Nets just figured that out. And this is where it comes back to small ball. And, you know, I think we saw yesterday two teams, one probably, even though like they're missing key players, one more hungry than another. Like you heard the sound from Kyrie saying, hey, we know we're going to see them again. And guess what? We're ready. We're coming in strapped. And when we're all, you know, three, you know, everyone's healthy in the big three is in the big two, you know, the Lakers, we're ready. We want that challenge too. We want that smoke too, but we had to handle business today. And so I think the mindset, that's the difference between, all right, we've got LeBron James at age 36 coming off of a championship and they're in cruise control. And they know, like, even think about like the guys like KCP that knows he delivered in the finals. Like the sense of urgency hits a little different when you're the Lakers in that position versus when you're the Brooklyn Nets with the eyes of the world all on you and everything that you do, including bringing a walking stick into the arena, which, by the way, keep bringing it in if that means you keep producing at a high level. I have no problems with that.
Listen, I don't always agree with the things that Kyrie Irving does, but a walking stick is an all-world accessory. I think more people need to understand just how great walking sticks. It's great for your back. It's obviously what he's using it for, the medical purposes there only, but the aesthetic is a great one that I think more people need to explore. So the other part of all this is, like you said, they've got a little more firepower I think they're dealing with on that top end. They can absorb more of this. But for the Lakers, I think there's also an understanding they've got to have of the pressure of what's at stake, because we look at this as, all right, well, the Lakers, are they going to chase the one seed? Are they going to do all this? John Ireland, who does play-by-play for the Lakers and is on Mason and Ireland for ESPN Los Angeles, joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and said, we can go ahead and really throw that one seed talk out.
Their priorities would be health number one and seeding number two. I don't think they care necessarily if they finish with the number one seed. And as a matter of fact, I think Utah's going for it. Every year there's a regular season team that kind of goes for it from the beginning and makes the number one seed a very important priority. I don't think that's the Lakers. They know that if they can get Anthony Davis and LeBron James healthy to the postseason, that they can win anywhere. They're 12-3 on the road. They started the road season by winning their first 10 games away from Staples. They actually have a better road record than they do a home record. So seeding doesn't matter, but if AD and LeBron aren't healthy, then that matters a great deal. They've got to get those two guys healthy, which is why I think they're being overly cautious with Anthony Davis.
And it's why it's the overwhelmingly smart move, because now you're going to have 4 weeks where they know they don't have to make sure they're keeping track or keeping chase of the one seed. And you know you're not going to face the Brooklyn Nets again. Like, there are very few teams that can roll wave after wave of that sort of hellish offensive firepower at you.
Can we also talk about how Kyrie was like, we're going to see you again. It's like, oh, like, we're going to see you in the finals? Like, are we talking about the finals? Like, because that's the next time, really, we plan on, like, you know, outside of a regular season matchup. Like, that's a long time. Like, okay, you bold. I see you. I hear you.
At this point, when you, again, that is the confidence you get when you pick up a walking stick. Now you've got that literal and figurative support, and he's ready to rock in here. He's ready to treat this Janae like it's like a new WWE tag team. Like, it's like a new trio that just walked in here, and he's already going to point fingers up there at the guy who he has in the past called and apologized to and had all this back and forth with LeBron. Apparently now he is emboldened with his new friends and feels like he doesn't have to worry about any of that.
Yep, he's doing all right. Again, what was the stat? 10-1, the Brooklyn Nets are against teams that are 500 and above. 10-1.
And we were worried about how they did against sub-500 teams.
Right, like that even matters.
Shame on us. Now, keep in mind, college basketball season also heating up down the stretch, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees. And watch, people like Illinois' Ayo Dosunmu. I don't know how to pronounce that name. I'm going to be honest. Cliff, you got me help on this one?
Ayo Dosunmu.
There we go. Him and Baylor's Nelissa Smith as the season rolls along. The
really,
John
Cliff?
R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's.
Cliff writes those reads.
That's cold.
Really,
I was going to say, you knew what you were doing on that. That was cold-blooded.
I didn't know what I was doing. I thought you could pronounce the name, bro. Not that
hard. You thought
hard.
With all this cultural training you've had from me, okay?
It's not the cultural training. I just haven't watched a ton of Illinois basketball this year, and I feel like you guys should have been cognizant.
I was gonna say, you mispronounced Illinois, too.
What do you mean I mispronounced Illinois?
What Travis said. You put an S at the end, definitely. I think you missed the front end, too.
You know what? Go ahead and cut that right now. There is no way I said Illinois like some sort of noob on this. You can come at me for a lot. That's not going to be one of those things. Coming up next, There might be a right way to say Illinois, but is there a right way or a right reason to host an all-star game in the middle of a pandemic? One commissioner thinks so, and we'll get to that next. Chanay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chanay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jameis Winston starting in New Orleans, Deshaun Watson to the Panthers, Marcus Mariota to the Patriots. Those were all destinations, week one starters, courtesy of the prognostication of our own Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes here on Chanay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, but before we get to that, Chanay, you know as better than anyone in this show staff. For anyone unaware, Chanay Igwumike, two-time WNBA All-Star, current member of the Los Angeles Sparks, but for the sake of this conversation, I think most importantly, member of the WNBA's Players Association's Executive Committee. Chanay, we have watched you during the course of this last year make decisions in real time on pressing issues that come up with your league, with the overall health of the sport. That's kind of what we've got going on now. We've watched players push back on what's going on and what's getting ready to come up in Atlanta. The NBA is going to come out and host an all-star game still in Atlanta. And Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, joined The Jump the other day to talk about what was going on here, talk about what they needed to do and how confident he was in being able to pull this off. Here was Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, joining Rachel Nichols on The Jump yesterday.
I don't think it'll be that difficult because our event will not be open to the public. We'll have a small number of fans representing HBCUs, which was part of our announcement, Historically Black Colleges and Universities. It was actually Chris Paul's idea to sort of center on those schools and focus attention and resources on that school, plus COVID equity issues in the country. But so there'll be, you know, roughly 1,000 people representing those institutions, but there will not be tickets open to the public. And I actually agree with the mayor of Atlanta. We don't want people to gather for events around this all-star. There will be absolutely no social functions in Atlanta, no ticketed events, no parties. It is a made-for-television event at this point, and it's largely in Atlanta because that's where Turner Sports is located, who host this event. And of course, we have the Hawks and a state-of-the-art arena in State Farm, but that's why we're there, and so we agree with the mayor.
Chanay, you heard that there, and for anyone who missed it, Keisha Lance Bottoms, the mayor of Atlanta, said, under normal circumstances, we'd be grateful for the opportunity to host the NBA All-Star Game, but this isn't a typical year. I've shared my concerns with the NBA and the Hawks and agree this is a made-for-TV-only event and people shouldn't travel to Atlanta to party. The question is, do we think anyone's going to listen to that?
So I'm like, okay, I'm hearing everything that Adam Silver is saying, and there's rationale behind what he's saying. Like you said, I'm a member of the executive committee of the WNBPA, and when we look at a season, a lot of the big activation points for a commissioner that they sort of present to us is like, obviously, this is the amount of games that we're dealing with, and this is a season we're dealing with a pandemic, right? This is the amount of games that we're targeting at having. This is All-Star. This is our plan for that. And then this is our plan for the postseason. So you think about it in like three major points: the season, All-Star, postseason. And I feel like this year, you know, based on the tough turnaround, it's been hard to have those conversations. And so they're doing it in real time. And when it comes to this All-Star, the frustrating part is, okay, all right, I get it. The infrastructure is there to support in Atlanta for the game. But what is the symbol of having the game in Atlanta mean for the community? That's the hardest thing. Because you'll have an All-Star and there'll be a game held and all the, you know, the players will be flown in and hopefully everyone's protected and in a bubble and no one has access to the outside, you know, community just for safety so that the season continues. But what message does that send to the greater Atlanta community thinking that we can celebrate too as this event goes on? And so that was the frustrating part.
And you mentioned the rest of the surrounding community being able to celebrate, because if you're the NBA and Adam Silver, you can only control so much. You can control who comes in for the game. You can control the events that you put your name on. But I've already seen online lists of parties that are going to be happening in Atlanta. We've seen the way that that city is operated in general. And now you've essentially taken a flame, putting it outside in the middle of the night, and are going to act surprised when moths show up to this? Like, I that's the part, Chanay, that's troublesome in this is, I think people are going to see this. And we've all been dying to get back out, to be doing things. And now in a place that already the mayor has said, we're trying to keep people from doing things, you're putting something in the middle here that I think a lot of people won't be able to help going out and trying to celebrate like it's normal in a way that the NBA cannot control.
Again, I understand why the NBA is doing it, but I think coming off, and you make the great point time and time again, a virtual Pro Bowl, knowing that you're not jeopardizing those members of that community by having it virtually. This is just another controversial point. But I do understand when the commissioner says, hey, there's so much at stake, coming from a season that was in a bubble that started their season with a controversy that lost them a lot of money with, you know, the GM of the Houston Rockets in that situation. So they're trying to recoup as much as they can, recoup the sponsors, recoup the brand activations that All-Star presents as one of the three major key touch points for viability financially for the future, which, by the way, their ability to, you know, as players show up and perform also dictates what that, you know, salary cap and the cap situation and what their paychecks look like in the future. Everything is tied together, just is problematic from a moral standpoint. And I think that's why these questions are being constantly raised as the, you know, event is still being planned. And I will say this, Junior, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but I love you all. I mean, if we're thinking about places and, you know, partners, we're like, you know, Connecticut, I feel like we're a little safer, you know, like Atlanta is a little different.
There would be less impetus to go out and be able to do that because it's so damn cold up here. And I feel like that natural deterrent would have been welcome.
I was saying we're a partner too. You know, Bristol, we host pretty big events. My sister had had her WBA draft. And so, like, how is that right? You know, the gym, we have a gym. Apparently people hoop, you know, on our staff. They claim that there's, I'm just joking.
To say Jimmy Pitaro somewhere, like, we're going to do it in the rec center where we watch Cliff and Devin normally put up bricks out here.
Yep, exactly.
Going get some actual ballers.
How about the XL Center? Come on. You know, but I do understand that the infrastructure to, you know, for this made only TV event for the NBA in Atlanta and the crew that typically works that through all the festivities. I totally get that. I was just saying, you know, we out here too, and this place is a little quiet. It's a little quieter.
They needed to do something other than what they're going to do, and now it's too late, but they're going to do it because money drives everything. And for the very moral league, that's something that's hard to swallow for a lot of people that watch and are fans of it. What's also hard to swallow is the crow that our producer Travis has to eat right now, because last segment I had to do a read with an Illinois basketball player whose name I couldn't pronounce, and then you guys decided to try and attack me, namely Travis, and say that I was throwing an S on the end of Illinois like some sort of moron, and so we cut it right here, and I want Travis especially to take a good long listen at this right now. Illinois' Io DeSant, I don't know how to pronounce that name, gonna be honest. So you confused the possessive of Illinois, as in the player of Illinois, in this as me putting an S on the end of it. Shame on you, Travis.
I'll admit I was wrong.
All right, that's all I wanted.
Wow. Look at Cliff. Look at how that works.
Sometimes it's just that simple. Coming up
hey,
next,
how did I catch a stray right there? What the hell is that for?
Listen, I don't know, man. I don't make the rules around here. You really gonna you think I'm going to mess with her? No, not a chance. I'm not
Thank
getting
you.
In front of that one. Coming up next, though, speaking of things that are very complicated, this NFL quarterback carousel has already given us some interesting results. Is there something even bigger already on the horizon? We'll ask one expert next after this word from Body Armor.
Let's go.
Mike the Stallion out here. Magic Mike in the building, letting Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year, trying to look good. Body Armor Light is the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle and flavors like berry punch and coconut. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, Donovan Mitchell, and Megan Rapinoe all use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated. So why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product, and you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. What do the Bears do at quarterback? Who's going to be starting in New Orleans? That's all coming up next. Chinay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Angola Jr., the podcast.
If there's any coach in the league that I would trust to revive Carson Wentz, it would be Frank Reich.
Colts badly overpaid.
You're talking about a guy that could be MVP, a guy that is a top six or seven player at the position in the NFL.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. Chinay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And as we look out and watch the quarterback market continue to work this offseason, players moving, We got to try and get a handle on all of this. Thankfully, our own Field Yates wrote a great article on ESPN.com and ESPN Plus predicting all 32 starting quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Yes.
And he's kind enough to join us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Field, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, and I really appreciate you guys having me on. And today, I'm going to address you specifically on this. If you guys don't mind, I need like 30 seconds at the end of this spot. Today, you and I talking only, because Gojo let me down in a way that I'm not even sure he recognizes, and I need to talk through it a little bit, and I think Chiney is the right person to be my sounding board.
This is right up my alley. I got you, Field, so I look forward to it.
Oh, I am very worried about what's going to happen at the end of this interview now. So I better I'm going to get my questions in, and then I'm going to get out of the way here. Field, we have watched the Carolina Panthers clear a ton of cap space in the last few days here. Right now, are they the odds-on favorite to land Deshaun Watson, the big fish, in this quarterback offseason?
I think that the Carolina Panthers make a lot of sense for Deshaun Watson. And here's the reason why. Is let's start on Houston's side, because the Texans don't want to trade Deshaun Watson. But I'm examining a world where they are going to eventually look in the mirror and say that the only thing worse than not having Deshaun Watson on a roster and having him play for somebody else is having Deshaun Watson on our roster and him not playing at all. Him saying, no, I'm not playing. I'm not playing for you this year. If you're not going to trade me, I'm going to sit out. And beyond that, if you're Nick Caserio, the new general manager, you walked into this pile of mud. It's not your fault that Deshaun Watson's unhappy. So if ever there was a GM who can execute a move like this and say, hey, listen, it's not my fault here, right? Like, you can't put the blame on me. This is a scenario in which it works out. Now, the Carolina side, I think, is interesting. So the Panthers had either 7 or 8 games last year where they lost by one score. This is a team that was close. I spent the week in Mobile covering the Senior Bowl for us this year, and the Panthers were one of the two coaching staffs. And publicly, privately, you name it, like, the Panthers were not hiding the fact that they would be after the quarterbacks this offseason, after a quarterback this offseason. They've got the 8th overall pick in the draft, which would be probably the most important asset going to Houston. But I think it could be multiple other first-round picks involved as well. I think the Panthers would all of a sudden look at themselves as a playoff team as soon as next year, and a team that's got a 10-year run ahead of it because of how good Deshaun Watson is, and he's only 25.
Thanks for bringing your personal experience into this, because I want to lean into that, especially with this question coming up. This is my friend, Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, here with us on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And speaking of your collegiate expertise, you know, also serving as an NFL draft analyst and expert, there's been something interesting happening, and you outlined it in your article where you predicted all 32 starting QBs, Zach Wilson at 2 being the quarterback of the New York Jets. How do you sort of see Zach Wilson vaulting himself over the likes of Justin Fields, potentially creating that move where Sam Darnold also has to go?
Yeah, so I think that obviously beyond Trevor Lawrence, it's like the rankings could be interchangeable. I think Justin Fields could be the second-ranked quarterback on 16 of the boards across the NFL, and Zach Wilson could be the number two quarterback on the other 16. And maybe Trey Lance is mixed in there on a few boards as well. So I think what makes Zach Wilson really compelling, and I think is going to be interesting to see how this narrative takes shape over the next couple of months. And I know Gojo was tweeting earlier today about how, like, wait, are we really getting to the point where, like, Trevor Lawrence hasn't done anything and we're starting to talk ourselves into Zach Wilson potentially ahead of Trevor Lawrence? And when you watch a Zach Wilson highlight tape, like, if you go to YouTube and look up his best plays on YouTube, you're going to see a ridiculous assortment of throws and runs and innovation and scripted stuff and unscripted stuff that's really, really, really fun. There's a ton of upside for Zach Wilson. At the same time, Justin Fields, like, there, I think both of those players in many drafts, not just this draft, would be an absolutely right call number two overall pick in the draft. I don't think it's a reach. I don't think it's a quarterback being thrust up the board. I think if either of those players goes number two, there's excellent reason and merit behind it.
I think it's going to be an extremely interesting conversation. It's just like you said, one that got started far sooner than I could have imagined. Field, last one for me, and then I'm going to clear out for you and Chiney to settle whatever slight I have levied your way on this, and just ask, why do you believe Sam Darnold could ultimately be a good fit for the Chicago Bears this coming season?
Yeah, you know what's funny, Gojo, is that was the last quarterback that I filled out in the entire exercise. And so here's how it worked, was I knew the Bears are going to have to find someone to play quarterback. And so, you know, my prediction was Carson Wentz would go to the Colts. That obviously came to life. And after Carson Wentz, and even Carson Wentz is totally, I mean, Carson Wentz himself is a major wild card. This year there aren't a bunch of veteran options that offer certainty, right? I suppose Matthew Stafford was the closest to a veteran that was definitely available. Deshaun Watson would offer that, but I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to the Bears if he goes anywhere. So I had to find someone. Because Zach Wilson was going to the Jets, that opened up the door to trading Sam Darnold. And it doesn't, honestly, a day later, like, I don't feel super comfortable with the prediction of Sam Darnold going to the Bears. It underscores the point that it's going to be really, really difficult for the Bears to find a guy this offseason that gives them a chance to win enough that I think they're going to need to win to keep all their jobs in place after the 2021 season.
Okay, all right, business is done. Now I've muted virtually Gold Jr.'s mic. The floor is yours. What's the beef? What's going on, Field?
All right, so Chiney, you can be very honest here. I don't have a lot of drip. Can we confirm that?
True.
To be honest, it's okay. I don't have a lot of drip, but I'm trying to up my game a little bit. And everybody listening to the show knows that Gojo is a sneakerhead. My lovely, incredible wife bought me a pair of, I mean, just phenomenal Jordans for Valentine's Day. And they arrived a couple days before Valentine's Day. And I sent a photo of them on top of my kitchen counter. And I asked Gojo whether we needed to shut down the competition for Wife of the Year because mine had already won, which he has now won for 3 years running, by the way. And I was very excited to show him my new Jordans.
Oh, gosh.
Gojo ghosted me. He didn't even respond. As if, I mean, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, one step forward, and I don't know, is that two steps back, Chiney? Like, do I never speak to him again other than work commitments? Do we need that? Like, how do we get this back to where it needs to be? Because I was hopeful, and now I'm just sort of embarrassed.
Look, I'm sorry. That is my, you know, work husband, and I'm going to apologize as, you know, the woman in the couple here and just say that he made a mistake. And I'd also like to say, while you may not have, like, the traditional form of drip, which is why I said no, you come heavy with the knowledge, and women like that, and that's attractive, and that's why you have a wife, and Golic Jr. does not.
Oh, God.
Well said. And that was a great way to end it, by the way. And Gojo did respond to the text.
Did I go too hard?
You know, he needed like 6 days to respond. I think he's tough. He's a former offensive lineman. He can handle it.
I can't handle it. Feel from the bottom of my heart, I am sorry. I look back and that timestamp was right during the show in here. I was clearly so enthralled by the conversation.
Oh, you're going to use that one excuse? That excuse doesn't work for me.
Oh, I am just terrible. Good news, though, is I responded and said, wow, those look great, because they do, because Field is great, because his wife is phenomenal, and the shoes are incredible.
I'm happy for you in the drip.
Thank you.
I love you, buddy.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate
sorry.
That.
Hopefully we can still be friends.
At least I love you.
It's all good. I love both of you, and I love coming on the show. And I think I'm scheduled to come back on next week, so I look forward to that.
Let's go.
Yes.
And I'm
you owe him
text
shoes.
You.
Junior. No, Junior. Ooh. You owe Field Yates shoes. That's it.
All right, there we go. That's how we remedy this situation. We are going to get that worked
Let's
out
go.
Here. The great Field Yates, kind enough to join us. Thanks, buddy. We'll be working on the shoes, all right?
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Field Yates, our ESPN NFL insider.
I came
insider.
In hard, didn't I? My fault, man.
I really
went for your
it.
Neck. I'm sorry.
I feel terrible about what I did to Field Yates there, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to make it up. That was surprising, me not getting back to a friend like Field Yates. But coming up next, we got to get to the least surprising but most disappointing thing I heard this week in sports. We'll do that here on ESPN Radio.
I'm single too, y'all. It's okay.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A lot of surprising things that we've seen. I don't know if a lot of us expected Deshaun Watson to start trying to get himself up out of Houston in such a public way that we'd see Carson Wentz move. This next thing we're going to talk about was in no way surprising, but man, is it disappointing to hear out loud still. Chinay Ngoluk Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Ngoluk Jr. and Chinay Igwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got to get into it. We do one and done around here. It's a great segment that has really become sort of college athlete rights, and this feels like the proper place to drop it in. Let's go, Cliff.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Saw a quote pop up yesterday in the world of college basketball. Remember Duke's Jalen Johnson decided to opt out for the rest of the season and dealt with a foot injury, projected lottery pick. Well, courtesy of Mike Curtis, who covers Syracuse men's and women's hoops for Syracuse.com, saw a quote from Jim Boeheim on that situation, who said, quote, "That guy was hurting them, so they actually are much better now without him. He was just doing some things and keeping other people from playing that are good. They've had two monster wins since he's opted out." And Chinay, that choice of words in this particular time is not surprising. Like, we know where Jim Boeheim stands on this, and I'm not dumb enough to believe that there aren't a lot of other coaches that agree with him. But to hear this publicly about a situation that is not yours, not your player, we saw, in fact, Mike Krzyzewski and Duke speak pretty glowingly of Jalen Johnson in that situation. It's just a reminder of the uphill battle we're always fighting when it comes to players' ability to go out here and get for themselves and accomplish for themselves and make decisions best for them.
Thank you. And I feel like this is highlighting the power structure that are all the issues for the NCAA to overcome. They're even dragging their feet kind of when it comes to the name, image, likeness battle that they're in and saying, oh, well, the Supreme Court is handling it, so why do we have to right now? You think about the systems in college where, you know, the coaches are looked to as mentors and, you know, people that are help grooming men that now have more power ever to make decisions for themselves. So when a player makes a decision and his coach, Mike Krzyzewski, stands by it, why do we feel like we have more voice on the issue than the person that knows him best? And this was one of those situations where, you know, it feels like you're speaking out of turn and it's inappropriate. And on top of it, this is a season where you can't fault anyone because we are dealing with a virus. We're dealing with limited preparation and limited resources and a lot of sacrifices. And when someone makes a decision for themselves, you would think that more people would be, you know, contrary to what they did in the past, you know, give someone a benefit of the doubt. But no, I think, you know, a lot of times it just reveals sort of true colors of where they think that the institution stands. And unfortunately, that day is changing, and some people are slower to that change than others.
And this has been very slow, grinding to a halt, because it's crazy as you see a lot of people are out here agreeing, saying, what did he say that was wrong in this spot? And if your assessment of the situation is one thing about Duke's basketball team, the tone and connotation of all of this is one that's talking down to a guy because of the power structure you've been afforded a long time in this sport, a long time at the level of this sport. And it just seems wildly, A, unnecessary, and B, bad for business in a way that indicates to me that maybe Syracuse isn't all that interested in one-and-done kind of talent that might be coming their way, which makes that decision easy. I'm amazed you'd hear that out loud, quite frankly, for those reasons. But if someone wants to show you who they are or tell you who they are, then believe him when they say it in this spot, because if he's going to say that about a guy he didn't even coach, I would shudder to think if you were a player that decided to think for yourself in that particular situation with that particular coach.
Who else is feeling some type of way?
Yeah, it's who's that?
Oh, was it? I thought we were going to get to Jay Billis.
We
hopefully
do not have enough time to get to Jay Billis, who rightly ripped Jim Boeheim for what went on here. And Jim Boeheim's just a proxy for everybody that wants to look at this situation, Chinay, and think they know more than they do. Because I'll say this, if you want to criticize Jalen Johnson publicly and overtly, you better know some stuff that went on. You better know why he moved from IMG. You better have receipts that you can pull in that spot, because when we look at this decision and this situation and this year, it's not unique. It's just the latest one in a sport that apparently thinks it's above this and is finding out very quickly it's not.
Yeah, throwing rocks from a glass house. Guess what? Someone's going to pick up that rock and start looking at you. So, yeah, be careful.
Let them know. By the way, speaking of college basketball, tune in tomorrow. College basketball is Kansas hosts Texas Tech. Coverage begins at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But coming up next, forget words. Let's go to actions and head to the Octagon, where one of the very best is fresh off making some history. Going to join us next here on ESPN Radio.